Well, good evening to you. Welcome back to our healing clinic. We're on like week 17 here. We're on week, I don't know, really. We've been going strong for a good at least six or so, maybe more. But it's been good. Hopefully your foundation in healing has been fortified. And what's crazy is that there have been many attacks on people's health in the body here at Good News Church. And I think it's so important that you hear the word concerning God's healing power so that when the enemy comes, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him and you can resist. Amen. So tonight will be no different. We're going to continue to lay on that foundation of healing. However, I do have a friend that's going to be joining me co-preaching tonight, co-teaching and preaching tonight. should I invite him up or not? No. Eddie Kennedy and I have, years ago, we started doing this podcast called Walking on the Word, and we would get together and we would just talk about the Word and record ourselves talking, and then we would post it on the internet and hope that maybe somebody would get something out of it. Whether they listened or not, it really didn't matter to us because it really helped us as we were talking back and forth. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are in your life, to get a crazy faith friend, one you can build up and sharpen and have sharpen you, iron sharpening iron, as the proverb says, and one who can challenge you in faith, one that you can talk the word of God with. So I want to invite you into a conversation tonight about healing. So Eddie, why don't you come up and we'll grab some chairs over here, because that's what we do is we sit around the table. And Antonio, welcome, man. Would you help me with one of these chairs? Nothing like coming back to Good News and being put to work. Good to see you, man. How are you? Thank you. Put that man on Team Good News. Usher, sign him up. Welcome, Eddie.
Glad to be here.
You want to say hello to the people?
Hello.
They're actually listening this time.
Okay. I see them. Hello, I'm Eddie. Good to see you.
Hey, I'm Eddie. Oh, man. So what I have asked Eddie to come up with is 45 minutes of, no, we are really going to talk about some healing highlights, some top 10, if you will, probably won't be 10, but like some healing highlights, some things that would build you up, some things that like if Eddie encountered somebody that needed healing in his or her body, what would you say to them? What would you do? So tonight may not necessarily be about you receiving healing in your body. If you, you know, have a need, if you have a sickness or whatever, then of course this will apply to you. But more so in the sense that you would take this and use it in your life as you minister to the people in your world. So there's some foundations, there's some basics that we need to go over. What do you think the first one is?
Well, it's so interesting because when I talked to Nate about it, my first point was his first point. And it's really, it is God's will is healing for you. You have to nail that one down. It's God's will to heal me. And then when you're dealing with somebody, you have to say to them, it's God's will to heal you. It's so interesting that so many people in the day we live in, they have so many mixed up ideas about that. I mean, they can be thinking that God's using this to teach them something. There are still people who believe that, or that God, they're going through this for a reason. There's some season of their life, whatever it is, or God's withholding it from them for some reason. But that's not. You have to nail that one down up front, that it is absolutely, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, God's will to heal you, God's will to heal me. So you get that. We have to get all these things from there. So we can't just say that. We have to take them to the Word, the Bible. I mean, so I'll open up, and I'm sure you'll do the same thing that you will say. Now, do we believe the Bible? I mean, the Bible is what we got born again on. So we're going to have to find this in the Word so that you can read it for yourself and gather it for yourself. And so we would, how I would set that up, and I'm sure you probably do it the same way, Nate, is you say that if Jesus said it, He's not just saying something for himself. He's not making up something that, you know, he's going to say something here, and we're going to say, or we're going to be able to see that that's actually the Father saying it through him. That's the Father's, when he says it, he said, it's not me saying this by my own words. It's not my will. I'm not doing my thing here. That's what Jesus would say in John 14 and 15 and 13 and along in there. But he's saying, he's going to say something. So when we can look at what he says, what he does, that is the will of the Father.
That's right. So, you know, some scripture to go along with that. You've got Colossians 1:15, which if you've been through the Essential Eight, that first lesson really captures on this, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so if we see Jesus, we see the Father. And so I believe there's three places in the Bible that you can see the will of God displayed. First of all is his original creation. What he intended from the beginning. So what do you see in the garden? You don't see any sickness or disease there. If God wanted to use sickness or disease to teach us a lesson, he would have started with that.
We would have seen it right there in the garden.
Right at the beginning. We also see it in the ministry of Jesus. If Jesus did it, then it is the will of God. And we don't see Jesus putting sickness on anybody. We don't see Jesus, I love what Jeremy Goff says, we don't see him going around breaking somebody's legs and said, you know, there, learn something from that. No, we see people coming to Jesus and experiencing healing.
We also don't see, though, when he heals the multitudes, that somebody was saying, nope, not you.
Right.
Not your turn, not your day. There's another purpose for you. You know, you suffer a little bit longer.
That's
we don't
right.
see that either.
No.
And we would, if it, that was the case, we would see it in the scripture. They would have recorded it for us. It's not there.
That's right. And then finally, you see the will of God displayed in heaven. And, you know, how many of you are looking forward to the day when you get to heaven and you've got, you know, the crooping cough up there and the flu and whatever else is going around? The heavenly flu. Nobody ever has ever heard of the heavenly flu, right? No, because there is no... Who's that, David Ingalls?
Yeah, that's right.
I know my David Ingalls. I get tickled here. But there is no such thing as sickness in heaven. And if there's no sickness in heaven, and Jesus said to pray this way, thy will be done on earth, how?
As it is in heaven.
And so we see there that if Jesus prayed that way, then the will of God isn't automatically being done on earth. So we're calling heaven to earth. And in fact, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven resides within us. So we're bringing heaven to earth. And that's all a part of, like, you know, the ministry of Jesus was about bringing to heaven to earth. Our ministry as believers is about bringing heaven to earth. And people can experience that when they have a need, have a sickness or disease there. But there was a guy who came to Jesus with this same question, and we see that
That's
in
right.
Matthew chapter 8. Why don't you tell him about that?
Yeah, so in Matthew chapter 8, we see this. Jesus, I don't have the scripture reference in front of me. Do you have it right there?
Yeah, you can read it.
Says, this is Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So this man didn't have a question about whether or not Jesus could. It wasn't a question about, you know, his ability, the power that was in him, the anointing that was on him. It wasn't a question about could he heal him. The question he had, and it's like so many times we meet people who have the same question, is will he heal me? So when we see Jesus answer this question, this is how we know what God's will is, because Jesus is not just saying this of and by himself.
That's right.
He's here representing God the Father to us. And what he's going to do, what he's going to say here, is going to represent what God would have said if he were here walking, because he was in Jesus, walking in him. So this is what Jesus said. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was gone. He was cleansed. So we know right there, and we see this other places, but we know positively, absolutely, it is God's willingness. He is willing for us to be healed, us to walk in health, us to be able to minister health and healing to other people.
Fantastic. It is. It's God's will that we be healed. And there's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about healing. I often wonder, how can Christians get this so mixed up? Like, it's so throughout the Bible, the verses about healing. And one thing I would encourage a believer to do, someone who wants to receive healing in their body, is going through something, and I believe we talked about this at the very beginning, is to meditate on the Word. To get those scriptures within you, to memorize them, to mull them over in your head. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes." Listen to the phrasing there. Don't let them depart from your eyes. And it's oftentimes when our eyes start to shift or start to wander, and the word departs from our eyes, where we can find ourselves a little bit more susceptible. Susceptible to worry, susceptible to anxiety, susceptible to fear, susceptible to sickness. And it says, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Healing and the word are combined.
They go together.
Like the hand on a glove on a hand.
Yeah. They go together. So, I mean, he's telling us here, don't let these things depart from our eyes. And this, well, you mentioned this. It's so easy in today's world that we get so distracted by all this stuff. But we, if we dig into the Word of God, and what Nate was just saying is that you find these verses, you read them, you meditate on them, you say them. When I first met Carol, she was dealing with a condition in her skin.
Eczema.
Thank you. And so we got some verses, wrote them down on cards, and she would say them. And she just said those things over and over and over and over until she actually believed what she was reading was absolutely true because it was the Word of God for her. And that eczema went away. It left. It couldn't stay. She filled herself up so much because she put it in her eyes, she put it in her mouth, she put it in her ears. She took it off those written pages and put it in her, and it became life in her and drove out, ran out, made that eczema leave. That's what he's saying do. You meditate. You have to find it, but you meditate on it and put it in you.
You know, some of us aren't so convinced that it is God's will to heal me in my particular illness or abnormality or whatever it may be. And so one of the things that this does, what you said about, you know, even Carol early on, is that this made her more convinced that it's God's will for her to be healed and that healing belongs to her. And it is. It is for her right now. And the more she said it, the more she believed it, the more she believed it, the more she said it. And faith was activated within her heart. And it takes faith to be healed, to receive healing.
It does. You receive healing the same way you receive salvation. I mean, there's a verse in the Bible. Somebody shares the truth with you about Jesus died on the cross. You hear that. And, you know, if you think about it in that aspect, that is so impossible that we're going to believe what happened 2,000 years ago is going to work for me now so that when I die, I get to go to heaven when I die. But that's such of a thing. It strikes a chord on the inside of you, and you believe it. And then you act on that by confessing him as your Lord. But the same way you take a healing verse, the same thing, you receive healing the same way, and you put that word in you, and you just begin to believe it. I mean, if you read Romans 4, it talks about Abraham, he became fully persuaded. He convinced himself. That's what he did. When God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, he and his wife Sarai, whatever you say her name, Sarah. I'm good with words. Bungle them all up.
Exactly.
That's right. So, but they were able to put that word in their mouths, and they became fully persuaded that what God said he could do, he was able to do, and that he would actually do it, and it was as good as done in them. They just convinced themselves of it by saying it. So that's why it's so important to take the Word of God and put it in your mouth, put in your heart, put in your ears, put in your eyes.
Yeah, and before long, you'll catch yourself when you're saying something that you're feeling, and you replace that with what the word of faith says. You know, instead of saying my back is killing me, you'll start to say I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. You know, so many times we declare what we feel or what we see or what we experience rather than the Word of God. But if you've hidden the Word of God in your heart, not only that you would not sin against him, as it says in Psalm 119, but you hide the Word of God in your heart so that it will come out of your mouth rather than doubt and disbelief and talking the problem.
Yeah, so it really makes this verse jump off the page when it says, you don't let them depart from your eyes. You keep them in the midst of your heart. Mm-hmm. And we know what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And they are life to those who find them, and their health to all their flesh. So that word, that scripture right there is so true, particularly when you look at healing.
Yeah, and I encourage you to write that reference down, put it on your 3x5 card, stick it on your mirror, look at it every day till you memorize it and get it in your heart. There's so many scriptures about that. You know, one of the other things that I've experienced, and I'm sure others have too, is this thought maybe that my deal is like a special case. Like my deal is like, you know, God healed that person over there, but you know, mine is, it's different. And so we can begin to think, well, woe is me, or that kind of thing. So a thought that I had really is your sickness isn't a special case. Matthew 4:23, I love what this says in the New Living. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness, every single one. So we see a lot of times in multiple times in the Gospels where it says, and Jesus healed them all, but he healed them all of all.
Right.
Every disease, every kind of disease and illness. So your thing isn't special. Your thing isn't something that's not covered under the blood of Jesus or under the finished work of redemption. Your deal isn't special. You're special, but your deal isn't.
That's so funny. You know, but you can take that another step. Sometimes when you're talking to somebody or even when you're dealing with something yourself, you think about, well, they didn't have this back in the Bible. Maybe they didn't know about this one. But then you read Deuteronomy, the curse of the law, Deuteronomy 15, starting chapter 28, verse 15, and reads, and it says, in every other disease, and so it's like, and at the end of it, it says, in everyone that they can ever think of. And that's my translation. But it's like anything that's ever going to be discovered, anything ever going to put a name on, it's covered in this. So if it was covered in that curse, and we were redeemed from that curse, and the blood of Jesus paid the price for that, it's covered. It's part of it. It's a done deal. So it is, there are no special cases in this aspect. It's all covered. Jesus paid the price for it all. It's all been done for us. We're healed if we'll just receive it. Every kind, everything, every bit of it.
That's right. I mean, we put names on these sicknesses, these diseases, and it almost like you hear the word cancer, and it strikes fear in the heart of men. I mean, I was in Nicaragua, and I got a text from my dad, and so it said, "Hey, son, you know, why don't you pray for me? I found a lump under his arm, and." You know, went to the doctor, and the doctor said it might be cancer. And as soon as I heard that, I just started crying. I'm like, what? And then, you know, my team around me was like, what's going on? And I'm like, my dad might have cancer. You know, and like, I'm like, what is going on with me? Why am I afraid of the big C, man, the C word? Like, you think it's a curse word. Like, don't say cancer, because... Yeah, no. And so, you know, our team, the team really just began to console me and pray for me. My dad was in faith. He was like, regardless of what it is, I'm covered. It's all good. And so cancer isn't a special case. It doesn't, you know, it's not going to take some extra power in heaven to take care of cancer. It's all included. It's all included in the benefit package.
It's so funny. You mentioned a couple weeks ago about, how Satan sometimes will give us something like that will happen, and then the big C comes into your head, and then if you don't take that one, then there's, you know, he'll go for a smaller. I remember years ago I had a bump under my arm, and I actually went to my brother's a doctor. I went to the doctor, you know, and so the first thing, because it's real sensitive, you're real tender. The first thought is you've got, because you read somewhere about somebody else who had some type of cancer under their arm and all this. So all this stuff starts coming to your mind, and you have to just fight that stuff, put that down, not accept that. It was a clogged pore, you know, it's gone in a couple of days. You know, but it's like if you would take the C thing and run with it, you know, you open your door up. Fear will open the door up. That's why you have to have the word planted in you.
That's right.
In your heart. So when these things come, you, one, resist it, but you take the word and you let the word do the job. Let the word work in you. Let the word work in your mouth. Let the word work in your life.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so, I mean, to my dad, in his situation, like he wanted me to pray for him, but he didn't blast it on Facebook and get it, you know, do the whole thing. And I was thankful he didn't do that. But what he did blast on Facebook a couple months later was a testimony of how God healed him.
Praise God.
And what he had been through, but, you know, he was cancer free, and he's had cancer before and beat it. And so he was like, it's tried to take me out one time. Didn't take me out then, and it's not going to take me out now, regardless of what it is. So healing is yours.
Healing belongs to us.
Healing is yours. And so I wanted to read some other scripture to you because I think one of the things that we need to do as believers is expect to live a long life. Expect to live a long life. And it's not just Psalm 91:16 that we're talking about here. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. But Psalm 91 is not just a psalm about protection. It's a psalm about healing. It's a psalm about walking in health and healing. Psalm 91:10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You can walk in health and healing. You have biblical precedents. You have chapter and verse to walk in health and healing. It says, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Not come into your dwelling and make its way around your dwelling through all the kids and all the family. Well, they got it, so I'm next. And prepare yourself, brace yourself, it's coming. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So you can expect to live a long, satisfied life. And then listen to this, and I've got a few scriptures here. Proverbs 4:10, it says, my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. That's Proverbs 4:10 in the New Living. Listen to me, do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. Everybody say that. I will have a long, good life.
A long, good life.
And then Genesis 15:15 says, as for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. This isn't just one scripture about living a long, satisfied life here. One more. Oh, this one doesn't quite fit into the long life here, but this equally is good. Psalm 30, verse 2 through 3. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Aren't those good scriptures?
Yeah.
This is Bible. You can expect to live a long life. You know, Pastor Susie did a message on the final enemy, death, the final enemy, a couple months back. And it was just a powerful message about how people are often afraid of death or even afraid of growing old. But don't be afraid of that. You've been promised a long life, so expect to live a long life. What say you, Edward?
I agree. But we have to put an expectation out there. We have to put, you know, we have to base this stuff on the Word of God. But so many people, if we did a survey, Pastor Susie mentioned this to me some time ago, about how people don't see themselves living long. They just don't see themselves living long. But as believers, we should live long and have full, satisfied lives because we got a mission to do on the earth. And we can't be sick and we can't be dying early and get the job done. Put the Word of God in us. See, we've got a long, satisfied life promise from God, and build our expectation that this is what we're going to have.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes when you're in the midst of some situation where, you know, you're puking your brains out and you're not feeling well, it's in those moments where the words, "I want to die," come out of your mouth, or "I feel like I'm going to die," come out of your mouth. You've been there. Maybe you've had something. That's the time where the word that you've hidden in your heart needs to come out of your mouth. Psalm 118, I believe it is, "I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." Because you've been promised a long, satisfied life, and because you're expecting a long, satisfied life, you can declare that you will live and not die.
Right.
So that you can declare the works of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
What else you got, man?
Well, I was just going to read my verse in Psalms 103.
Because Psalms are full of...
Yeah. And this is Psalms 103. This is... And we all know this one. We call this one our benefit package. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So again, it's this picture of us having our diseases and sicknesses taken away from us, taken care of. We've been redeemed from destruction, dying young, or anything like that, anything that would come along. And we get our mouth satisfied with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. So we just continue to live long and live strong.
I like that.
I borrowed that from somebody.
Not feeble, not weak, but living a long life that in which your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Right.
Have you guys seen the video on the internet machine of this guy? It's a young guy, but he's dressed up like an old man. Have you seen any of this? It's kind of like a prank video, but the guy goes to what's the beach in California? Venice Beach, California, and all of these bodybuilders are out there. They're lifting weights, you know, and he goes and he's dressed as an old man. So he goes and he, you know, says, "Hey, young whippersnapper, can I try that out?" You know, and he sits down on the bench and, you know, does more than these guys. And then he does this backflip and they're like, "Whoa, old man, how'd you do that?" You know, and of course he's a young man, but that's the picture of how we should live. Not that you can do, if you can't do backflips now, you probably won't be able to do when you're 80.
Right.
But that's the image we should have on the inside of us, like of when we get old. I mean, that's not a satisfied life when you're old and you're feeble.
No, that's not.
Is it? I mean,
no.
You got to be pushed around in the wheelchair and get the oxygen on you. And
yeah, we're going to be renewed like the eagles. So that means we're going to keep strong and we're going to keep on. And it's, you know, the video I saw was the guy playing basketball, but that's almost a picture you want, is that when you get to be older, that you're still strong and you still, you can do all the stuff.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I want.
But you have to get that. You have to get that image on the inside of you.
You have to do something about it. you have to start at some point.
It's never too late, Eddie.
But you do. I mean, but so it's almost like what we're saying here. There's a choice we can make. We can either put the Word of God in our heart or not, and we can make our expectations we're going to live long or not. I mean, God's will is not automatically being done in the earth. This is up to us. What do we want to do? What do we want? Do we want to live what God has for us, what he's paid for us to have through the blood of Jesus? We can have that. Or we can just be talked out of it and settle for what the world's got. Let's don't do that.
That's right. So what do you do when, and we've given you tips along the way here, is what do you do when sickness comes knocking at your door, when the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. How do you activate the power of God in your life? And we often use this analogy that just like electricity is in existence in the natural world, the power of God is in existence in the spiritual realm. And so there are laws that govern the flow of electricity in the natural world, right? You're not going to touch a live wire and not expect to be shocked a little bit or full-on electrocuted. There are laws that govern the operation of spiritual power in the same way. The problem that people have, even believers, think that, you know, if the power of God is present, then it's automatically going to heal everybody that's there. Like, why, if you believe in praying for the sick, why don't you just go to the hospital and clear everybody out? If you believe the power of God is in you, why don't you just, you know, heal everybody in the world?
Or if it is really God's will to heal, why isn't everybody healed?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the same kind of thinking.
Yeah. And so, but there are laws that govern the operation of spiritual power and activating God's power in your life. I mean, electricity has been in existence since the creation of the world. The capacity to have lights and sound and all of the things that we experience today has been in existence. It's not like people discovered something new that came from outer space or anything. It's all been here. But people had to discover it. They had to learn about the laws that govern it. And then they had to do some stuff. You know, it didn't just because electricity was available in this natural realm, it didn't automatically light a house or cook a meal or anything like that, because for years man didn't even know that electricity existed. Didn't know that a lot of things existed. And even after electricity was discovered, it didn't automatically begin to operate. Man had to come into contact with it somehow. You remember Benjamin Franklin and his, kite flying through and the keys and the whole story there. Like, he had to come in contact with it and then figure out, well, this isn't the right way to come in contact with it, but we can harness the power that's in the natural realm here. And so there really is something that has to be done on our end before there will be a demonstration of the healing power. And you know, that has to do with activating our faith. You know, you think about the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus was there. The power of God was there because the power of God was in Jesus. But she did something to activate the power of God in her life, because there were people thronging him, the scripture says, and yet she was the one who was healed. So you see, something had to take place to activate the power of God in her life, and the same thing is true for you and I. Really what that means is that we need to learn more about God's power and how it operates, what the Word of God says about it, so we can tap into it, and we can be able to flow with it and tap into the power and utilize it for ourselves, but also flow it into others, because the power of God is basically like a heavenly electricity, and you have to know how to flip the switch. And people say, well, you know, keep the switch of faith turned on.
Right.
But how do you even flip the switch?
Well, like she said, you know, she's at home and she hears about Jesus. Here he's coming. And so she said, if I might just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So she said that. And then she, after she said it enough, you know, she didn't feel like getting out there, but she wanted that miracle. So she got up and she said, if I fight my way through this crowd of people, but I touch the hem of his garment, you know, I will be made whole. So she did something. She acted on it. She said it, she believed it, and she acted on it.
I believe it's in the acting that you position yourself to receive from God. Because we all know that actions speak louder than words, right? And so, man, we can say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. We can start, but in a sense, that's just like mental assent. It's just like, well, I mentally agree with that, and in my soul, I feel like, yeah, I'm healed. But until I get up out of the bed,
right,
until I put clothes on and take a shower instead of staying in the bathrobe and the slippers and carrying the, you know, teacup around and the NyQuil in one hand, the teacup in the other, like, until I get up and activate and be active, then I'm really not saying I truly believe.
Yeah, she would have not received her miracle at home just saying that.
That's right.
It wasn't going to happen. She got her miracle when she got up and went, and then she actually did what she was saying, and she grabbed hold of the hem of his garment. And it's interesting because what you just said, there's all kind of people around him. The crowds were thronging him. Yeah. But yet she reached through and grabbed hold of her miracle. She received her healing. She actually received her healing when she grabbed hold of that.
That's right.
The power that was in him, it's just like if the electricity is in him, he's the power source. She took her plug and stuck in and was able to turn on whatever she needed to turn on. She did it. That was her switch. She hooked up, grabbed hold with that action, and received her miracle.
So how do we, in essence, plug into the power and activate the power of God in our lives? First of all, we have to know that the power of God is in existence and know where we can find it. Obviously found in the scripture. Put the scripture in our mouth. But there's so many things that we can do to activate the power of God in our lives. Act on our faith. You know, James talks about that faith without works is dead, right? How can anyone, you know, expect to receive from God if he's double-minded? If we say I'm healed, but then we don't behave as if we're healed, then that's two different minds. What do you truly believe? What do you truly believe? Matthew chapter 9 is another valid case of this kind of similar situation. Verse 27, it says, after Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. They went right into the house where he was staying. So they're following Jesus. Somebody say stalker. They're following him. They couldn't, you know, see him, but they were following him. They weren't voyeurs. They were stalkers. They followed him. They're shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. They went right into the house where he was staying. So they weren't content to just sit outside and beg. They went right into the house where he was staying, and then Jesus asked them, do you believe I can make you see? Often wonder, like, these guys have been following him for a long time. It's almost one of those silly questions. I know there's no stupid questions, but this seems like a silly question. But what is he really asking them? Not what do you want. Do you believe I can make you see? Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were opened and they could see. And again, same issue with the woman. She wouldn't have received her healing, crying, woe is me, on the couch at home. The same thing with these guys.
Right. So they're like following Jesus down the road, and they're blind.
Take some effort, right?
Yeah, they're blind. And so he goes into a house, and they have to find the door that he went in because they don't see it. Mm-hmm. They don't even see the house.
Right.
So, I mean, they are going through a lot of effort. We just read right past that. But these guys were blind. And so they're feeling their way to the door, you know, whatever they're doing. I mean, that's how they're getting there. I mean, they're putting a lot of effort to get in front of him. So, because that's where they wanted to be. They want to be right there with Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. So they are really putting action to what they believe until they get right there in front of him.
Feeling their way around.
Yeah, they are, Jesus. Because they're blind. I mean, we just read past that like they just walk right in right behind him.
Right,
but they didn't. They didn't do that. They had to figure out house was it? Where's the door? How do I get in? Because, I mean, not everybody's helping them here.
Absolutely.
We don't have a record of people helping them, but they're crying out, have mercy on us, you know. Mm-hmm. They go in, he asked him, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord, that's why we're here. That's why we followed you all the way in. Absolutely. We believe it. We're convinced of it."
That's right. And it really did. It took some effort on their part. But don't mistake what we're saying as you are working for your healing.
No.
That's backwards, right? You got the cart before the horse, so to speak.
They're faith, putting action to their faith.
Absolutely. That's so faith is really a response. And we've taught you this before. Faith is simply a response to what God has already provided. So they saw a healing provided in Jesus. They see or have heard somewhere, they had to have seen or heard somewhere that Jesus was going around healing people. They heard of, you know, maybe they heard Blind Bart's story. Well, because they said the exact same thing he did.
Right.
Maybe this was Blind Bart and his buddy. I don't know. Should have did some more research on that. But they heard that Jesus was healing people. And so they thought, well, why not us? If Jesus is healing them, why not us? And so faith was rising on the inside of them. And so they responded to that faith through their actions. And so if what you're calling faith is not a true response to what God has already done, that's not true faith. True faith only receives. True faith reaches out and takes what God has already done. Faith isn't working as if you're from a position of trying to get something from God, as if he's withholding. Faith is from a position of, oh, this has been laid available for me. I will just reach out and take this. It's a response to what God's already provided for you.
But it is an action. It's got to be active. Faith is active. So it's these guys were actively doing something. They're actively pursuing. They heard Jesus was famous for miracles.
Yes.
Famous for this. And so they're actively pursuing. This is it. So us, we're believing God for something. We're receiving our healing. We can't just be inactive with it. We can't just say it. Sometimes all you can do is say something. But you have to be active. You have to be in action with it. Not that you're working for it, but that you're based on what you believe, based on what you know is yours, you're acting on it. You act on it. Action.
Yeah, and don't get it backwards, because we can often fall in the ditch of, well, what can I do to get healed?
Yeah.
And that's not the position that you want to be in, because you'll jump on that treadmill and you'll never get off, because you're trying to get something that's already been provided for you. Rather, you see the table laid before you, and then you just reach out and receive it.
Yeah, receive it.
And it is. It is a response, but there is an action that goes along with it. Because a healed person isn't going to lie in bed all day.
No.
If you truly believe
responding.
It.
So and how he's saying that response, so you're responding to that faith that's been built in you by acting on that faith. It is a response. You're responding to the Word of God. It's been put in you. And you're responding to it. But that response is not just continuing to lay there. That response is not just sitting at home. That response is acting on it. That's a really good way to say it. It is a response. You're absolutely right. You're responding to it. That faith in you. What God's Word said.
So what is it in your life? Maybe some of you are dealing with illness or, you know, any attack, really, because it can be applied to so many areas, financial attack or attack on your mental well-being. What are some action steps you can take to act on your faith? Again, not to try to get something from God, but try to lay hold of what he's already provided for you, because he's already given you everything you need for life and godliness. So lay hold of that. But how can you take action? Think about that. I hope you can identify some things in your life. What can I do to activate my faith? And then I love here in Matthew 14, verse 36, talking about some folks here. It says, "They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed." And again, that's the same situation as the woman with the issue of blood. Like, that was a way that they activated their faith. Let us just touch you. That's all we need to do. We're not, it's not complicated. We make it too complicated.
We do. Absolutely. It's not complicated. It is not. Because when you have the word, we have the examples of all this that Jesus has done for us. But when we're looking at healing for ourselves, it's just receiving. And you just put yourself in a position to receive. Put yourself in a position to receive. How you do that is you get in faith with it. You just get in faith. You put the word of God in you. You put it in your ears. You read it. You believe it. You say it. And you act on it. And by doing that, you put yourself in this position to receive what you need. I mean, I went through something years ago. We tell the story all the time. But I was in fear for 10 years on a, you know, something that the doctor had told me that I had to have surgery for. I was in every prayer line that came to town. I was, every time that they had something for anything, I was there. I fell out almost every single time. If falling out was the key that got it for you, I would have had it. But I wasn't in faith any of those times. It took me, you know, staying up till 4 in the morning one day, dealing with it, and finally I realized, talking to God about it, I wasn't even in faith. Everything I'd done based in fear of the procedure, a fear of the surgery. Wow. Wasn't in faith at all. That's not faith. Saying the verses over and over, because I was trying to make something happen. I was working it. Yep. But I wasn't responding in faith because I didn't have faith in me. I didn't have the word in me that I would go with that. I was just, the basis of my whole deal was I was afraid of something. And that is not faith. You have to base it on the word and get in faith. And once you get in faith, you can receive. It's just, like Nate says, it's on the table. Just take it. It's ours. Just receive.
The scripture says that healing is the children's bread. Laid right there. I mean, my kids lay hold of whatever they want to in the fridge, in the pantry. Regardless of whether we tell them they can have it, they just assume if it's in the house, it's theirs.
Right.
Whether they can eat it at that moment doesn't matter to them. Whether we're having dinner in 30 minutes or an hour, no, I'm going to eat this pack of crackers. Or Adelie, she's like been on this popcorn kick, and she knows how to, she's 3, almost 4, she knows how to go in the pantry, get the popcorn out, open it up, she will get the stool, climb on top of the stove, duck underneath the door as she opens it above her head, stick the thing in there, presses the popcorn button on the microwave, true story, presses the green button to start the popcorn on the microwave. I don't have to get up from my chair. It is beautiful. And so it works in my benefit because I'm like, hey, can make us some popcorn? And she's like, yeah, I can do that. But no lie, she will get the popcorn herself, make it herself, because she knows this is mine. I have access to it. You know, there is no begging. It's just, if she knows how to do it, she knows where it's at, she can go and she can grab it. And there's so many benefits beyond even healing in the scripture that we've just said, well, God, please, can I have that? Please, 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 please. And he's probably like, you know how to take hold of that, like it's in the pantry.
Right.
What are you asking me for? I've already told you how to activate it. I've already told you that it's yours. Eat up. You know where the button is to turn on the machine. Go get it.
Right.
Final thoughts.
So healing is ours. So we just have to get it. Receive it. Now, when I say get it, we don't have to work for it. We just receive it. But you get yourself in a position of faith. Base yourself on the Word of God. Not afraid of something. Not afraid of whatever the doctor's report is, good or bad. But base it on the Word of God. Out of His love for you. What He's already done for us through Jesus. Put that Word in you and then receive it. Reach up off the table and take it. Go to the popcorn, put it in there, do whatever. You can do it.
That's right.
I mean, this is something. It's for us. We should be walking in total health, healing, and wholeness in our lives. Set that expectation that we're going to live this long, satisfied life, strong. And what Nate said a few weeks ago, any type of sickness, disease, infirmity, abnormality, malfunction, accidental, incidental, it don't matter. Not going to stay in my body. Amen. Make a decision. It's not going to be here. This body is mine. Your body is yours. Don't let it in. Total resistance. Zero tolerance. Not going to take anything. Not a bit. And you just apply the Word of God to it. Know who you are. Stand up. Keep your position. Know what belongs to you. And run that stuff off.
Amen. Stand to your feet. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Hope that helped you to engage in our conversation there. Father, we are so grateful for healing being made available to us. And we expect as believers in your word to live a long, satisfied life. We'll live a long, good life. We thank you, Father, that when we're old, we will be strong. We'll live strong. We'll live long. We'll live satisfied. We thank you, Father, that for those who are even experiencing any type of symptoms, that they would walk in health and healing. Run it off in the name of Jesus. We pray for our church body right now, those who are experiencing an attack from the enemy. And we thank you, Father, that you've provided everything we need for life and godliness. And so their situation is no different. It hasn't taken heaven by surprise. You know what to do in this situation. So, Father, I thank you that we cast the cares and the concerns and the anxiety upon you, for you care for us. And we run off sickness and disease. We tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. We run off lack in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for full provision for every good work and charitable donation. We thank you that we walk in the abundant life here at Good News Church. And we carry and deliver your healing power to the lost and dying world around us. We thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic night.